Marty in the Morning on RTE Lyric FM with Spry Finance. Keep living the life you love.
Now, there is a production of Dr. Strangelove running until the 22nd of February at the Bord Gáis. And I've noticed the co-adapter. Now, normally I would have thought broadcaster, writer, comic writer, serious writer, all the rest of it, all the many things, and man of many awards, that Amanda Iannucci, who is here with me, by the way, would be kind of all over this thing like a rash. And then I thought to myself, he is. That's exactly what you are.
Am I?
Yes, you are. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Yes.
It's lovely to meet you.
It was very, very nice to be here.
I have to tell you, I've been an admirer of your work for years and years and years.
Thank you very much.
Because you are, you're the busiest of bees, always, it seems to me. You're always...
I've got more adept at time management.
Have you, though?
Yes,
have you?
I have,
that's a very
yes.
difficult thing to
no,
do.
No, I've always, really, since I started, I've always had rules of...
Have you?
Try not to work beyond 6 o'clock, try not to work at weekends, switch your phone off.
Handy.
And stuff. Yeah.
So you do it, that's the work, and then my life is my own and all of that.
Yeah. And also try and make the work as what you want to do anyway.
Do
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can't imagine retiring, because when you retire, you do the stuff you want to do, but I want to write, so...
Well, then why would you
I might
retire?
As well get paid for it.
Well, you know, it's funny that you should bring up retirement, because I don't want to either. I'm no interest in retirement whatsoever.
No.
And if you love what you do...
Yeah.
Get a kick out of it, and it pays your rent, and it also gives you pleasure. Yeah. Then why would you?
Yeah. I mean, I can imagine slowing down and taking longer gaps in between.
But you don't strike me as a man who would find that easily done. Like you, when you get nominated for so many BAFTA awards over the years, and you have all these wonderful accolades that come your way, but you have great success that has come your way over the years. Steve Coogan is one person, obviously, to do with Dr. Strangelove.
Yes.
Incidentally, can I just say, I was looking at the picture of him as Dr. Strangelove, which is opening the Bord Gáis. He looks amazingly like Anderson Cooper from CNN. Did anybody tell him that, or is that on purpose?
No, not that, but it was Steve's idea to... Because in the film, Strangelove, played by Peter Sellers, has a kind of dark wig and dark glasses. And Steve, we always said, we're not here to do the Peter Sellers version.
Well, that's important, isn't it?
We're here to do Steve's version.
Yes.
And he imagined Dr. Strangelove with white hair. And it's the 1960s, so him being a dubious German scientist
from
the Second World War, now working with NASA, or as he pronounces it, NASA. He wanted Strangelove to try and pass himself off in a way as a kind of cool 1960s American type.
You put your finger on it. There's elements of that great actor we lost in Harry Potter, very much so.
Oh, yes, yes.
When I look at him, when I look at the picture, it is when we think about Dr. Strangelove, are you doing it now because of what we're going through?
Well,
was that a part of it?
This is a weird thing. So, Dr. Strangelove, to explain, for those who don't know the film, it's set in the 1960s about a standoff between the American president and the Russian president about nuclear war. A mad general in the Pentagon has triggered a policy that could result in nuclear annihilation. And in the film, Peter Sellers plays three parts. So he plays the president.
He does.
He plays Dr. Strangelove. And he also plays an English RAF officer, Mandrake, who's actually with the mad general. Steve plays those three parts. He also plays a fourth part. He goes one better than Peter Sellers.
Does he?
He plays a fourth part.
What do you do?
He plays Kong. In the film, he's the pilot and the captain of the American stealth bomber that's got the bomb.
Yes.
And Sellers was asked if he wanted to play that part, and he said no, he felt he couldn't do it, he couldn't manage the accent.
Which is astonishing when you think about it.
I know.
Yeah.
And the thing, of course, Sellers had the advantage of he could do each part separately, do one week, come in, film the next one the next week. Steve has to do all four on stage. So there's an awful lot of very fast changes taking place.
Must be. And you would have great confidence, of course, knowing him 30 years, man and boy, both of you.
And
so you've been friends for years, haven't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And we started, I did a show called On the Hour, which was a spoof radio show.
I remember.
Radio 4, and out of which Alan Partridge grew.
Yes.
And been working with Steve ever since. And I always felt when we were doing this, To go back to your question, the Kubrick's house.
This is a great tangent conversation. I'm loving it already.
This is what Trump calls the weave, when he weaves in different conversational strands.
Like a wild thing at the moment.
But it's all deliberate. It's all part of his plan.
Yes.
See what a great mind he has. He can have these five simultaneous thoughts at once. But the Kubricks were persuaded to put Strangelove on stage. It's the very first time that there has been an adaptation of a Stanley Kubrick film.
Really?
So up to now they've said no, but they were persuaded by the producers, Patrick Miles and David Love, who did an adaptation of Network, which went very well. And then they approached me to do the adaptation. So when we were writing it, and it was about 2 years ago, we saw the end of the world theme as a kind of metaphor for maybe like global warming. Now that it's on, we've had Putin, we've had Ukraine, we've had Trump.
Yes.
In fact, the mad general in the play, it all starts with his suspicion about fluoridization of American water, suspecting that the Russians are up to something. And now we've just had the Senate hearings for RFK Jr.
Correct. And
obsessed with fluoridization.
Not only that, but blending mice and various other animals to feed his hawks.
Yes.
Which is quite an interesting.
So the craziness that we had as this weird backdrop to the play is there in front of us now.
Isn't that astonishing?
So let's see the play as a running commentary.
Yes.
And obviously, it's still set in the 1960s, but there are references and allusions to what's happening now.
Right, of course.
So you've planted one foot in the present.
As the fellow said, you've updated it so that it has a relevance, if you will.
Yeah.
Kubrick was something else. I mean, you look back and you think of Clockwork Orange and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be overly keen on that on stage, but there we are. But this is a different thing. And I remember as a small boy, even though the movie had happened, but I was too young to see the movie at the time, seeing it later and being blown away by it.
Yes.
Because I would have been a great Peter Sellers fan. So I'm thinking of all the Pink Panthers and all of that and the Goons before. And a movie like Being There.
Yeah.
Where
someone
like Sellers could become this completely different person.
Yeah.
In which respect, Steve Coogan has the same abilities.
Yes, well,
may
when,
I say,
when we were doing,
absence.
You know, when we were writing it, we were thinking who can play, you know, who's going to play it. And I could think
anyone. He was ringing you constantly saying, I'm available.
Well, he was unaware of it until.
Oh, right,
really? We had to keep it under the wire until it was all announced.
Of course, yes.
But I couldn't think of anyone. You know, he's born for that.
Yes.
Really. And honestly, it is a sight to behold watching it, you know.
But it must be very difficult. Is it very difficult to stage something like this? Like, you were talking about the quick change.
Mm.
He's the central character. He's constant.
Yeah.
And to try and make this, like, God forgive me at all, you're on for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Or 2 weeks. Yeah, just short of.
Yeah,
just
short.
It's a lot of hard work.
Well, he's just finished doing 4 months of it in London.
And
he survived.
Yeah. And he did the Brian and
Maggie thing. Yes.
Which is interesting with Brian Walton.
And it's we just finished in London. It's been the most successful, you know, play on at the NoCo Theatre.
Isn't that wonderful?
And he's ready to go.
Did you think it would be as big as this? Like you work on a piece and you do it and you don't know, because you never know.
Yeah, I think once we started rehearsing and saw Steve in all the roles, and indeed there's a fantastic cast around him, we thought, well, this works, and we spent a lot of time. And I've got to explain, you don't need to know the film at all.
Well, I think that's important
It's an experience and it's an entertainment. It's very funny. Kubrick originally wanted to write a serious, dramatic movie about the bomb, but the more he looked into it, the more he realised we can only do this as a comedy because this is absurd.
Because it is absurd.
Because it's all about this concept they had at the time, mutually assured destruction.
But it is
mad.
Absurd. Yeah, it is
mad,
absurd.
That's what it was called. And once you start with your official policy is mad.
Yes.
You know, where else can you go?
Well, I mean, it's fascinating for me chatting with you today, Armando, because I think about Veep, for example.
Yeah.
And you steeping yourself again
in American politics. Yeah.
And we are discovering now. Gas is all going back to Dr. Strangelove.
Yeah.
We're discovering now the power. Not that we didn't know, but the power of the American political system and how it affects everybody, but how it can be used now.
Absolutely.
In a different way than we expected it to be used all our lives.
Well, weirdly, you know, this is another strange coincidence that we found, because the play, you know, Dr. Strangelove, I'm not giving anything away to say that, you know, he has slightly autonomous bits of limbs and arms that have a mind of their own, and in the film he's struggling to avoid making sort of various Nazi salutes and so on as German scientists. So weirdly, it's a play about an American president who has an advisor next to him who occasionally has to shout down criticism that he might have made the odd fascist gesture, and who's in charge of a lot of technology.
For God's sake.
So there we are.
Life imitating art.
Yeah.
And back and forth. That is the funny thing about it, that it is a piece for our time. And I think maybe that's why people are particularly taken with this.
Yes.
And why it's working as well as it is.
Yeah.
Do you, when you are a co-adapter and you're involved, be it whatever, do you therefore find yourself going to it a lot, or do you leave it alone? Because I don't know how you would...
Once it's up.
Yeah.
That's an interesting one, because you go there at the start because there's always time to change things, you know, because you can't really know until it's done in front of an audience how it works. So you have this, which they call the preview period, where, you know, the audiences go, but there's no critics or reviewers go. You've got 10 days of that.
And you're
so
in
you've
the,
got time.
Are you in the theatre watching and listening?
So you've got time just to see what works, what could do with a bit of tightening.
What you thought was funny doesn't turn out to be.
Exactly. Or something that you thought was just a line suddenly is the funniest thing in the show.
Yeah,
and just by the way somebody says it or the look.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And so you've got time to build on that and also to tighten the stuff that you feel, actually, now that I'm watching it, we don't need that line there. So, but after that, and also there comes a point where you have to stop because the actors just need to then know it back
right,
to front.
Okay.
So they can do it in their sleep. Not that they do, but because then they make it their own.
Yes.
They're so comfortable with what's written and how it's been staged that they can now enjoy their performance and they can enjoy the laughter from the audience and know how long to let that laugh last before you do the next line and so on. And you have to leave it alone then. So that's when I stop coming to see it, because I found that if I do come back, and I want to come back and watch it because I just enjoy it.
Yes.
You start telling yourself, oh, how about if we did that? Oh, no, it's too late. I can't change that.
That's the
how
thing.
About if we... Oh.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You think next time, you know.
Yeah, you start to rewrite
time.
It in your head.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is...
So I have to kind of keep away. That said, I'd love to see it in Dublin.
And will you be with us on the night?
I won't be there for the opening, unfortunately. I have to be elsewhere, but I would certainly be back before the final.
Before it's done. And I'm also very impressed by the fact that having it in the Borgash, that... Somebody else could have perhaps come to tour it, which, as we know, happens.
Mm.
But you haven't. But Steve Coogan is the man who was taken
and the whole cast
from London to come over here. And I think that, if I may say so, is from our point of view is very impressive as well. That you've come lock, stock, and barrel, as I put it.
I mean, and it's a great company.
Do you know what I mean?
You know, Steve is the first one to say how much of a kind of ensemble piece it feels, even though he's playing all these parts. It's an amazing cast, and they've really bonded, and they're all really looking forward to
to this. You'll get a great reaction in Dublin with the Irish audience, because we love farce and we love theatre, but also the play on words, which I have no doubt is going to be quite something, which is your forte.
We've introduced in this play, it's not the film, the concept of pretaliation.
Pretaliation. Pretaliation.
Before the enemy thinks of retaliating, you get in there first.
That's a fantastic concept.
It's all about preterans, nuclear preterans.
That's a wonderful idea. Now, music in this. I am reliably informed that Miss Vera Lynn has a part to play in this.
She certainly has, because she ends the film. We'll meet again, so we have to have Vera.
It's herself, is it? Or will someone?
I think it'd be hard to have the actual Vera Lynn.
No, clearly not. I'm speaking of, as my mother used to say, is it a cassette? Will you be playing a cassette? But you're playing her voice in the particular.
There will be an actual Vera Lynn in the cast.
This is a good mess.
I don't want to say too much.
No, it's fair enough. There will be an actual Vera Lynn.
You will have to come and encourage people to come and see.
I have every intention of being there. Yeah. I'm just thinking about that. I thought for a minute it was going to be a hologram. I remember going to see, 4 million years ago, going to see Cliff Richard in London in something which I can't remember the name of, and it was a hologram of Laurence Olivier. And it was the weirdest thing.
Why was Laurence Olivier on with Cliff Richard?
He was a hologram. He wasn't there.
Did the Olivier estate to know about this?
I think Cash would have exchanged hands.
But did he turn up in the ABBA thing on it?
It's not dissimilar, if you like. But it was an amazing thing.
Olivier moonwalking
you put your finger on it. And I see the kernel of a new show coming. Yeah. Can I be a co-adapter while you're here?
Yes,
can I? I'd love to be. But anyway, I'm absolutely going to see it. When you do something like this, Dr. Strangelove, and you are delighted with it, of course, and no more than Veep and all that. I suppose in your mind, because of the writing you've done over the years, and I've done with Harp and Steve, but I mean, we go back to the whole idea of the idea of the TV show. It's very hard, I suspect, for someone like you not to keep going in your head with ideas, that all the time you're thinking of stuff or seeing circumstances, thinking, and then taking notes.
Yes.
With a notebook?
I do that. I've got a note. I've got on my phone a little note section that I drop things down.
Is it difficult not to do that? I expect.
Well, they happen when you least expect it. You know, if I said, you know, tomorrow I'm going to block out an hour for ideas, nothing will happen.
Yes, yeah.
I'll just make lots of tea.
Yes, the artist with blank page and nothing happens. Yes,
and it's usually when you're in the middle of something else and then a thought pops up and you think, oh, that's interesting.
Isn't that interesting? That's interesting. That works.
How about that?
And it comes.
But what was it? I had a thought the other day, an evil toy story. Which just somebody was talking about toys you can get now with AI in them.
I know,
and I just thought, that'd be interesting.
AI is fascinating. Yeah. It's hard to know.
Yeah.
And I saw the other day Paul McCartney talking about it.
Yes.
And somebody else. Then I think Elton John may have got somebody else. And the idea that their voices can be taken. And good luck to you. Mm-hmm. And that's the danger.
Absolutely.
For all artists. And
how hard it is very soon it'll be completely hard to distinguish what's true and what isn't. So, as Musk and now Zuckerberg say, we're doing away with fact checkers. It's actually the time when we need investment in those resources that can actually tell us whether something is authentic or not.
It's an incredibly strange time we live in.
Yeah.
It really is. Which is why, again, Strangelove just makes sense for now.
Strange.
Strange, isn't it?
The love of the strange.
The love of the strange.
And he's a doctor.
Again, funnily enough.
He's an expert lover of the strange.
He is, for sure. How many on stage, by the way? I was just trying to figure this out.
It's a huge cast.
A dozen or so,
yeah. All flipping in and out of different parts, yeah.
Oh, I know, and they play Lincoln and all the rest of it. So, but you've all these people playing all these parts. Mm. It's an ensemble piece. I am so excited to
see
it.
And it's quite a spectacular visually. There's lots of, you know, we have the war room at the Pentagon. We have a B-52 bomber on stage.
The ball, gosh, has never seen the like. Yeah. They thought ABBA was big.
Yeah.
It's going to be terrific. Yeah. Just to let people know, the tickets through Ticketmaster, of course, it's Borgosh, Wednesday, 5th of February, till Saturday, 22nd of February. It's Steve Coogan playing Dr. Strangelove. It's Stanley Kubrick, but it's really far more interesting because it's been co-adapted by Armando Iannucci. I'm so glad to meet you today. It's been a real joy. Really, really good conversation. And I hope you'll come back and see us again.
Yeah.
And may I say, at the end of everything else, Veep was brilliant. Can I just throw
and
that in?
And it's done so much to sort out American politics.
And to help you with extensions on your house, I've no doubt. But it was a joy to watch, I have to tell you. And I know we're talking Dr. Strangelove, Veep, it's there. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Armando.
We'll meet again. Don't know where.